Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. At this time, we would like to welcome everybody to Izacitec's conference call for the first quarter 2017 results. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded, and all participants will be in listen-only mode during the company presentation. After Izacitec's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session for analysts and investors, at which time further instructions will be given. Should any participants require assistance during the call, please press star zero to reach the operator. Today's live webcast, including both audio and slideshow, may be accessed through Izacitec's website at www.izacitec.com.br/ir. The slideshow presented by the management today is available on the website at the investor relations section. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements made during the call are based on the beliefs and assumptions of the management and represent information currently available to the company. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions as they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that the general economic conditions and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Izacitec and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such statements. Today, we have with us Mr. Reynaldo Passanezi, Chief Executive Officer, Rinaldo Pecchio, Chief Financial and Investor Relations Officer, Carlos Ribeiro, Chief Institutional Relations, and Weberson Abreu, the Project Director. Now, I would like to turn over the floor to Mr. Reynaldo Passanezi. You may proceed, sir.
A very good day to all of you. We would like to thank you for participating at our conference call to disclose the Izacitec results for the first quarter of 2017. We have three messages that I would like to highlight, and then I will give the floor to Reynaldo Pecchio. The first message is that we have returned to normalcy in terms of our operational results. I think that the results point to this. We have obtained consistent and positive results. When it comes to O&M, the results continue to be very stable, and we also have the debenture infrastructure, which was the lowest cost for an infrastructure debenture for the electrical sector. It represents 300 million. Therefore, the results point towards the consistency of our work in these last few years of adjustment that we have undergone, and we have now entered a period with greater normalcy. Another important point is the indemnity of the RBSE, which is the regulatory remuneration base. Evidently, we continue to have great confidence that this situation will be favorable.
Auction.
The result of the auction that is very pleasing for us. I will allow Mr. Pecchio to speak about this in his presentation, but I would like to mention nevertheless that the auction with the lots that we were able to buy, and these are four lots in São Paulo alone and one with Taesa. For the lots in October, practically we're doubling the capacity and the size in terms of revenue, and this is due to an effort with great discipline in terms of our capital expenditure. Once again, Rinaldo Pecchio will remark upon this because we always want to preserve profitability and value for our shareholders, but always keeping in mind the fact that we must make the most of opportunities to be able to build greater sustainability for the company. These are my initial comments, and Rinaldo Pecchio will present to you the results for the first quarter, and during the presentation, you will be able to see greater detail in terms of the actions and the debentures. We have Carlos Ribeiro here, Chief Institutional Relations Officer. He will doubtlessly be the one that has most information on indemnities, and Weber Sanabriu, who is our project director and who was responsible for new business and all the negotiation and the final result in terms of the auction. Once again, we are very happy to have all of these people participating with us. We will go on to the presentation by Reynaldo Pecchio. Thank you, Reynaldo. Thank you all for your participation. On page 3, we would like to refer to the first quarter 17 highlights. We're going to first speak about the financial results. The net revenue, once again, is a highlight. We reached 530.6 million, reflecting the correction of RBSC that I will mention further ahead. This is a very important point that I would like to highlight. It contributed to an EBITDA of 398 million and a margin of 75%. As Reynaldo mentioned, we had the issuance of our infrastructure debentures, a very successful action during this period, and we continue on with our policy of dividend payout, and we have carried out the payment of 137.5 million, corresponding to reais 0.834 per share of both species. In terms of regulatory aspects, the great highlight is the RBSC, that is to say the issues referring to the preliminary injunction by Abrachi that we will mention further ahead, the DIT or the other transmission facilities where we have made significant strides and we have now reached a very good level for the company. And finally, I would like to refer to the lots that we bought at the annual transmission auction, and we will have the opportunity to speak about this at greater length. Before going into the financial aspects, and because of some of the questions that we have received, I would like to clarify the payments that we had from the 4819 during the quarter, and some payments refer to the restatement of a previous period that was booked this quarter, and with this, in the coming semesters, the values will be reduced, and for the year, the amount should represent 180 million approximately. This because of the preliminary injunction or the temporary relief. The objective, the final objective, is to suspend this payment. We go on to page number 4, where we show you the consolidated revenues. We have the broad factors for variation, one of which relates to greater infrastructure activity of 72.8 million, and this also contributed to growth, the remuneration of concession assets of 221.3 million. With this, we had a growth of 307 million in net income, going to 600 in the first quarter of 2017, with net revenues of 530.8 million. We go on to slide number 5, where we have consolidated revenues in the regulatory part. We observe a variation of revenue to 311, once again because of inflation restated RAB, entry into operation of new investments, and the increased CDE charge, which were somewhat higher, enabling us to end the quarter with 267 million. On slide number 6, we show you our O&M costs and expenses, the evolution, and the consolidated form, as was highlighted by collective wage bargaining that began in July of 2016. And what I would also like to highlight are our contingencies with a reduction of 3.3 compared to the previous quarter. Our strategy has proved to be positive and we have had greater stability in terms of contingencies. We ended the quarter with 122.4 million at the end of March 2017. We go on to slide number 7, where we show you the regulatory OMM costs. Once again, we have the same effect. We highlight the collective bargaining for the semester, an increase in the property taxes that was somewhat above the inflation, but we do have a good variation as part of our control, and we end the quarter with 136.6 million. On slide number 8, I would like to highlight the consolidated financial results. Here we have two main effects. One is the reduction in our financial investments. We ended the quarter of the last quarter of 16 with 281 million, and we now see that in the first quarter 17, we ended with 103 million. And this is due to the amortization of our infrastructure debentures, which has contributed to a reduction in financial investments for the quarter. We have gone to 29.3 at the end of the first quarter 2017. Slide number 9. Highlights the equity income results based on the IFRS criteria. We highlight the increase in net revenue due to the IPCA restatement and the amortization of debentures in the Via Madeira, that is to say an amortization of our debt, and i.e. Garanhuns becomes totally operational. We also have a reflex because of the recognition of the Sudenet benefit in the IE Madeira, enabling us to have a better effective rate. And this because we had 19 million in the first quarter of 16 and 16.6 at the end of March of 2017. In slide number 10, we once again show you the equity income results for the regulatory part. In absolute terms, we went to 17 million, once again, because of the factors that I highlighted before. And the greater variation is in the IE Madeira plant. With all of these aspects that I have just mended, we come to a net income where at the end of the first quarter, based on IFRS, we reached 297 million. Once again, in the regulatory part, a variation, a lower variation of 40.2%. That is significant, where we reached 92.7 million. Once again, reflecting the highlights that we had, the impact of our operating levels, the equity income, and once again, the income tax. With this, we close the quarter with 92.7 million in terms of regulatory net income. In slide number 12, we mention the consolidated EBITDA based on ICBM 52712. You see the result of the restatement of RBSC. We have a good margin of 60.8 for RBSC, which is higher than the 56.2 in the first quarter of 16. And in regulatory, once again, 56.2 compared to 60.4 as mentioned before, which means that the company had excellent operational performance during this quarter. Finally, in the financial part, I would like to highlight on slide 13 the net debt. That 78.8% of the debt is long-term. We ended the first quarter with 865.6 of the consolidated net debt compared to 669.8. And this already reflects the covenants that we have. In terms of the covenants, you can observe that all of the covenants are being fully complied with. With this, we end the financial part. If you have any doubt, we can dissipate it in the question and answer period. I would now like to go on to the next session that refers to the situation of RBSC. We're not going to refer to all of the points, but we would like to remind you what was approved by Neil. There was a resolution that the 762 that regulates the indemnity payments because of the mines and energy ordinance. Now, all of this part has been successfully concluded until we had the action carried out by Abras车, that where we ended up having this temporary injunction. And because of this temporary relief, we have other events that are about to happen and that we can mention further ahead.
And here in this suit, AGU and ANEEL and Abrashe themselves still have some time to file new resources, and this decision was not published. This is important to mention. So this is still open before the formal settlement. So today our situation is that all the parties mentioned will make their own contributions with their arguments in the competent spheres in order to revert the decision of this preliminary injunction. This is how the company sees it. So now we will discuss the transmission auctions, and you have on slide 18 the material on the transmission auction. This will help us summarize what this auction was. It happened on 24th April. We had 35 lots with the foreseen investments of $13.2 million, and there were 6,029 kilometers of transmission lines and 13,672 MVAs of transformation capacity. The term construction period was 36 and 60 months with an expectation ratio of REP investment ratio over 20% and regulatory walk above 10% in real terms. And this is what we had on last Monday. In the next slide, we have a map of the offered lots. And I would like to draw your attention to the point where we show synergy, quite great synergy between what we have between the offered lots by ISA, CETEP, as well as the ones we have together with TAESA, and we see that the lots that we won, ISA, CETEP won, are very close to our main concession area in the state of São Paulo, and the lots offered in the consortium have a great synergy with the some of the ISA CETEP's installation and mainly with TAESA. I would like to remind you that the line stretches show that lot one means that the amount of line construction is quite significant, but the other lots won by CETEP are geared to equipment. And now we go to next slide where we show you the outcome of the main points of this auction result. So on slide 20, you can see the lots, and we mentioned some of the conditions of the winning lots. Through the consortium with TAESA on Lot 1 and the Lots 5, 6, 25, and 29, which we won individually. In this one, we have a greater participation in the state of São Paulo, where the substations dominate and equipment as well as compared to lines. The total of lines is small in these 5, 6, 25, and 29 lots in the state of São Paulo. Here you see the investments made by ANEEL, in which of them the RAP, and what we attained in 32 in Lot 5, and in Lot 6, 57.55 in Lot 25, and 52.69% in Lot 29. And the operation startup periods in months as stipulated by ANEEL, and the extent of the lines, and the most significant as we see is the Lot 1, 1,200 kilometers, and Lot 5, 36, and Lot 29, 111. So before we get to the competitive edge, I would like to mention that when we analyze the CAPEX of all the offered lots, we have to remind the mix of CAPEX of lines and equipment, where we see a dominance, except Lot 1, of equipment. And this enables us, due to the conditions that I will now mention, the attainment of our interest points. And in a line where you have some difficulties for construction with the equipment of substations, you have risks more controlled. So the selection criteria that we adopted enabled some triage considering geographical location, the region's characteristics, the possibilities of synergies, and this led us to have a reduction of CAPEX considered as compared to the initial projected CAPEX. Another point that I want to mention refers to the investments that we make in these one lots. In the first 2 years, disbursements would be only 10%. So this is very little in terms of disbursements and commitment in the first 2 years. And in the last 3 years, we will have over 70% of disbursements, mainly in years 3 and 4, when we will have the major disbursements. On slide 21, I would like to point out some of the competitive advantages. And I would like to stress the focus on the construction of substations in the state of São Paulo, where we had a 90% success rate on project bid. This means that ISA-CETEP, with all its synergies, was able to be very aggressive, enabling profitability and being successful in the lots that we won. This provided us optimized solutions, customized based on technological innovation. As our president pointed out, and together with our project directory, we were able to carry out surveys and with the technological innovations that we put into our proposals, we were able to succeed in this. Another important point was that we carried out environmental and land surveys with mitigating our project risks, because it gave us much in-depth knowledge of the areas. And this will enable us to reflect all these surveys in the offers we made, in the bids we made in the auction. Another point is the favorable geographic location, enabling synergy in operations, management, oversight, and commissioning. we are mentioning here many centered works in the state of São Paulo, where we have a major presence, and our expertise in synchronous compensator O&M. We work with the EPC turnkey contracts with guarantees inclusive for the operational phase. And in terms of the 6 to 12 months anticipated entry into commercial operation without considering the value of each lot. And this 6 to 12 months phase is very possible, and this will give us quite leverage considering BNDES and the infrastructure debentures. And this mainly for the lots in the state of São Paulo. This is our expectation. So these were the main steps and what is behind our participation in the auction. There are some other more specific participation and information which we can convey to you as and when we get to the Q&A session. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the Q&A session, first for shareholders, investors, and later for journalists, analysts. If you have a question, please press star key, followed by the one key on your touchtone phone. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, press star two. Our first question comes from Mr. Tiago Silva, Santander. Good morning to all. Thank you for the call. My question is on the auction. I have two questions, as a matter of fact. Given the general activity of the auction, I would like to understand if there was a CapEx estimate by ANEEL, which was above what the companies believed would be possible, and out of the lots that you won, how much less of CapEx due to your synergies you expect to capture? Hi, Tiago. Good morning. About the auction, I think that we did not see a very destructive competition in terms of taxes. And I don't think that this auction had this characteristic because all the competitors worked towards getting optimization in terms of a CapEx, in terms of anticipation of recovery, in terms of fiscal benefits, in terms of financial leverage. So, as a matter of fact, the answer is that the market really does its work. And we see this competition as everyone trying to optimize its structure. And I think that due to the economic situation of our country, we are undergoing a very positive moment in our sector because our plants are not at full maintenance, at full operation. And it's not that the CapEx is wrong, but there are moments, and the moment that the country is undergoing, that enable that this situation to happen. So when you look, the variance of the bids, you will realize that there was a huge variance in the bids. The bids were high, and there are 3, 4, 5 competitors bidding similar amounts. On the bid 4 and 5, or lot for lot 5, there were 2 and 3, and we won almost by a nose because we worked along these optimizations. And our CapEx, for instance, we did a very good work, and my colleague was, Pecchio was mentioning this. This project, mainly these projects for the state of São Paulo, are our daily routine. These are projects that are not large, for projects, for lots. But from the standpoint of the size of the investments, they are part of our daily work, as if it was a main reinforcement. So they are part of our daily work. So we have much more control on the CapEx, because this is what we do on a daily basis. This is a more general comment, and I would say as a more general comment that we, yes, have an expectation that CapEx will be 20-25% below ANEEL's CapEx. But this for me is not the central point. The central point is the fact that the companies made the huge efforts to optimize the structure of technical solutions. We have some data that will that could prove us that we will have innovative technical solutions, and this goes aside from ANEEL's CapEx. This shows that the market did the homework and led us to find excellent, optimal solutions, and the result was what we saw. Great, thank you very much. Well, if there are more questions, please press star 1. Our next question comes from Antonio Junqueira, BTG Pactual. Good morning, folks. I understand that the company cares very much to share some information on competitive edge, but perhaps you could help us with the updating of models and your figures, and perhaps an approximate estimate of how much you can save of CapEx as compared to ANEEL's expectation for the loss you won. I would like to have your help along these lines. Thank you. Well, I think that I already mentioned that this was around 20-25% below ANEEL's CapEx. This is the number, the figure we work with. Okay, thank you. I'm sorry that I didn't pay attention. As to the financing, you said that you mentioned BNDES, and in terms of infrastructure, there is no percentage of the indebtedness that you could get it from the banks in a more traditional form, mainly in Lot 1. Where there is less equipment, will you get it all from BNDES? Well, infra in the limit, almost 100%. Well, in principle, and obviously that you from BTG have, if you bring us innovative solutions, this will be very positive. But the main point here, I repeat, is that we are using, and this is what shows that we tried to be consistent. I won't say conservative, but we try to use the traditional alternatives. I will not make a bid based in a solution that is, how should I say, very innovative in terms of finances. But Pecky was saying this, our disbursements start to roll at 2.5 years, 3 years. But we use the BNDES standard, and we use debentures and even trusts. And I would like to remind you that we can use debentures and infras and in order to make issuance of debentures and infras at the head office. And obviously our model contemplates debentures and infras at the substation, but we can use it also at the head office, at the matrix, because you can have almost 100% leverage because we have an almost negative indebtedness at the head office. Well, I don't know what was used for the modeling, and obviously we are looking for an alternate that would improve even more the situation. And here also, we will repeat what the market has mentioned, our competitors. We can also use the traditional instruments, not the average debt to equity conservative of a company.
And when it comes to OPEX, did you present very relevant things in terms of what Anel had presented in terms of regulatory OPEX, or were you fully aligned with them? Well, for the state of Sao Paulo, what we do have is a competitive edge in the company, and we have a very specific and privileged position, and of course this was reflected in the bids that we made. I think we clearly have that competitive edge. Now, if you look at the map, you will see that the sites where we are found, is very important. And when we think about our association with DAEZA, this is also a leverage for us. What we had, of course, was a very successful strategy. We looked upon the group of lots and their location, and individually we were looking for lots where we would have greater synergy for the company. There are lots that are very close to some of our substations that we tend to share with third parties. And we have the larger lots that we believe would be positive in terms of their extension. And once again, we're extremely satisfied with the partnership that we initially made with DAEZA for the lots that we bought in October. This is a partnership that will end up being extremely positive for us. We would like to reiterate that the partnership with DAEZA in this auction has been very important, and the administrative infrastructure that has been set up, of course, is a very robust one, and we also have synergy on that behalf. Thank you very much. Our next question is from Mr. Gabriel Simões from Itaú BBA. A good morning to all of you. This is Pedro from BBA. A question about your new lots when it comes to how you're going to book them. The lot that you are sharing with DAEZA, are you going to include this in your balance? Are you going to recognize the proportional value, which is going to be the new distribution in this consortium, or will you perhaps not end up booking this in your respective balances? I'm not sure if you have already responded to this question, and I do apologize if this question has already been answered, but if you have the EPC for the lines, if you're opening this turnkey for lines. No, the first question is we do not consolidate all of this. This is very similar to Madeira, Garanhuns, and other IEs where we have shared control, and none of the companies will end up consolidating this. We only consolidate the equity income through the equity income method. We're not disclosing these EPCs. What we are disclosing is the partnership. This had already taken place during the auction in October with DAEZA. And when it comes to the individual lots, and I think that I had mentioned this in the call, the market itself has been working based on this concept, and it's
a way for companies to end up being more aggressive as they have the guarantee of the contract and they will not have to negotiate all of this subsequently. And obviously, all of this is important in terms of the EPT. This also guarantees the construction of work or equipment, and our equipment comes from multinational companies, all of which have offices in Brazil. This is the only disclosure that I can make at the moment. Basically, it's local production. And so these EPCs for substations, for work and material, all of this has been agreed upon. This is simply a question for confirmation. Now, if we look forward, going forward, there is an additional auction this year. Can we say that ISA-CETEP will participate with the same appetite in upcoming auctions? If the terms of the auction are maintained the same, the WACC and individual lots, can we imagine, therefore, that ISA-CETEP will have the same appetite it has shown in the coming auction, or will this depend with what will happen with the RBCE, SE, I'm sorry? Well, it's very difficult to speak about the future in these calls. What I can respond to your comment is the following. There were no more auctions in the state of Sao Paulo. If we look at future outlooks in terms of this sector, there will be very few auctions in Sao Paulo, at least proportionally speaking. Therefore, the synergy that existed for this auction ended up being something very specific. Now, in future auctions, we perhaps will not participate in the same strategic fashion as we did in this one. Thank you very much. Our next question from the webcast is from Mr. Giuliano from Claritas. Why hasn't ISA-CETEP shown any interest in Lot 18 in Minas Sao Paulo and was very aggressive in the discount in Lot Number 9 in Sao Paulo and Rio de Janeiro? We carried out an in-depth analysis and made the bids that we judged would be possible according to our profitability criteria that we hold. And perhaps I can make a more specific comment on lot number 19 that has a very relevant land tenure issue. And the annual CAPEX ended up making very uniform readjustments, and this made us lose our position. These lots with land tenure issues, once again, will continue on to have these issues. And perhaps the best explanation for lot number 19 can be explained by our CAPEX. As part of our CAPEX, there is a disappropriation component that is very important. Our next question is also for Mr. Giuliano on the temporary injunctions between the years 2012-2017. What happened was insufficient. There was an additional concession term in which you were with agreement. Do you think that you can have the remuneration of the tariffs even though you signed this additional agreement? Thank you for your question, and I believe that all of this is in our balance. We have no doubt about this. We are entitled to the indemnities of the assets that are called RBSE. This is something that is doubtless. It is part of legislation. It is part of the ordinance. It is part of all of the opinions and the public hearings and the final resolution. I have no doubt whatsoever that this complies with all of the prerequisites of legality to obtain the resources. The only thing we can say is that this has been a very lengthy process. What we are witnessing is a process that should not have been so long. And this is what has led to all of this discussion. We have been waiting for this since January 2003. We would like to remind you that should you wish to ask a question, please press star 1. We would now like to go on to the question and answer session for journalist analysts. If you have a question, please press star 1. If at any time you would like to remove your question from the queue, please press star 2. Our next question is from Mr. Luciano Costa from Reuters. Hey, good morning and thank you for the call. I'm still speaking about the judicialization of the indemnities. ANEL has the following understanding that the temporary relief refers to 9 million in indemnity. I would like to know if you agree with this. And in the case of ISA CETEPI, which would be the amount and which is the possibility that this decision will end up being a definite one? Luciano, we consider this to be a temporary decision and one that we can contest after this. Our rights remain unaltered based on the legal opinions that we have received, and we would like to preserve this right fully. First of all, because this is the decision of the injunction, and even if there are strides in this, we should not lose our right. There is no other way of compensating or remunerating these amounts to us. It is our understanding, therefore, that this is a right that we are entitled to. That is why we continue to book it in our accounts. And this has ended up in court. It has been judicialized. And what we are doing is working towards perhaps speeding up this process. I would like to remind you that we're not a direct party in this suit. The Abrace suit is against ANEL and others, and Abrace was heard in terms of its claims. Okay, thank you very much. Our impact will always be proportional. Once again, should you have a question, please press star 1. As we have no further questions, I would like to return the floor to Mr. Reynaldo Patanese for his closing remarks. Thank you very much for your participation in this call, and I would like to remind you once again that our communication channels are all at your disposal through the investor relations team. Once again, thank you very much for your participation. The ISA CETEPI conference call ends here. We would like to thank all of you for your participation. Have a good day. Thank you.